Well, according to the 16th century Renaissance painter Michelangelo, this is what God looks like. Now, according to Michelangelo's contemporary Leonardo, this is what God looks like. According to a 15th century sculptor by the name of Donatello, this is what God looks like. According to Raphael, this is what God looks like. Yes, 4 out of 4 Ninja Turtles agree, this is who God is. God is big and strong. God is bearded and slightly wrinkled. God is powerful and imposing, and most importantly, God is male. And that's the only way God was described in Renaissance art. God was described as a man. Now, I know it's a bit sexist, but perhaps we should give these Renaissance painters a bit of a pass. After all, the Apostle Paul called God Father over 40 times in his letters. And Jesus, of course, referred to God as Abba, Father, over 150 times in the Gospel. And throughout the Old Testament, God is continually referred to as the Father of Israel. The Scripture is filled, overflowing, with images of God that are paternal in nature. And yet perhaps that's what makes our scripture passage so interesting this morning. This passage from the book of Isaiah. You see, in our scripture passage this morning, Isaiah describes God not using paternal imagery. Instead, Isaiah uses maternal imagery. God is described as a mother. Thus says the Lord, in a time of favor I have answered you. On a day of salvation I have helped you. I have kept you and given you as a covenant to the people, to establish a land, to apportion the desolate heritages, saying to the prisoner, come out. To those who are in darkness, show yourself. They shall feed along the ways. On all the bare heights shall be their pasture. They shall not hunger or thirst. Neither scorching wind nor sun shall strike them down. For he who has pity on them will lead them, and by springs of water will guide them. And I will turn all my mountains into a road, and my highways shall be raised up low. These shall come from far away, and lo, these from the north and from the west. Sing for joy, O heavens, and exalt, O earth. Break forth, O mountains, into singing. For the Lord has comforted his people and will have compassion on his suffering ones. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. My Lord has forgotten me. Can a woman forget her nursing child? Can a woman show no compassion for the child of her womb? Even if these may forget, I will not forget you. See, I've inscribed you on the palms of my hand. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Have thine own way, O Lord, have thine own way. For you, O God, are our potter. We are your clay. Amen. Well, on October 8th, 1871, a forest fire broke out in this small town called Peshtigo, Wisconsin. Peshtigo is located in the north woods of the state. The town's primary industry was lumber, which meant the entire community was a tinderbox waiting for a spark. Well, at 9 o'clock in the morning, just after the Catholic Mass had finished, the fire was spotted in the woods surrounding the town. Still to today, no one knows how it started. As the flames moved, the people moved quickly. They ran to the river that flowed through the middle of the town, thinking if they made it to the water, they would be safe. Only that was not the case. By the time they made it to the river, the fire had already spread to both sides of the riverbank. And people were trapped. Just then, in that moment, there was an explosion in the lumber mill. And all of a sudden, a meteor shower of flaming logs and buckets and axes and 2x4s rained down on the people. And some men and women jumped into wells, hoping to protect themselves from the fire, but of course, the smoke filled the wells and suffocated those on the inside. 1,500 people died that day in Peshtigo. And still today, it remains the deadliest fire in our nation's history. Only you have never heard about it. You've never heard of the community. And why don't you know about something this tragic? Well, the reason was because on that very same night, October 8th, there was a second fire in a different community 250 miles south of Peshtigo, where Mrs. O'Leary's fabled cow knocked over a lantern and set the city of Chicago ablaze. It happened the exact same night. And now, the Great Chicago Fire killed 300 people. It left over 100,000 people homeless. And reporters from across the nation rushed to Chicago to tell the stories. People gathered from near and far to rebuild the community, to offer whatever help they could, but no one went to Peshtigo. No reporters told the story. Instead, the community was forgotten. The people were forgotten. It is one of the worst feelings in the world, after all. That feeling of being by yourself. That moment when you realize that there's no one who understands what you're going through. That moment when you suddenly recognize that no one truly comprehends the hardship you are facing. That moment you feel so alone. Sooner or later, we end up in that place. Sooner or later, you end up in Peshtigo, where life is going on for everyone else and you feel forgotten. You see, the people of Israel lived in exile for 50 years. For 50 years, they cried out to God as prisoners in Babylon. They said to God, "Lord, why have you forsaken us? Why have you abandoned your people? Don't you know the hardships we're facing? Don't you know the suffering we are going through?" For 50 years, the people of God lived in exile. Entire generation died in Babylon. Did anyone notice, they wonder? The temple in Jerusalem had been destroyed, burnt to the ground. Did anyone care, they wondered? The Ark of the Covenant, the very presence of God with them, had been stolen and taken away. Did anyone remember? See, sooner or later, we end up in that place. I remember talking with a man several years ago who was going through a difficult season in his life. The man had just had an accident at his home where his washing machine broke and flooded his entire house, ruining the floor. In addition to that, his daughter was going through a messy divorce, his wife was sick, and he himself had just gotten a root canal. During the conversation, he said to me, "You know, this has been the most challenging month I can remember. Just as soon as I get one thing fixed in my life, another thing breaks. I mean, what's going to happen next?" I said to him, trying to be comforting, I said, "I'm sorry." I said, I get it. I understand." He looked at me and he said, "No, you don't." He said, I don't mean that in a rude way or anything. He said, I just want you to know you don't understand. You can't understand what I am going through. No one understands what I am going through." Of course, he was right. No one could understand. sooner or later we end up in that place. Sooner or later we feel forgotten. By the rivers of Babylon, the people cried out, there we sat down and there we wept when we remembered Zion. I think that's what makes our scripture passage this morning so interesting. A story from the prophet Isaiah. You see, Isaiah says, it's in that very moment when the people of Israel felt most forgotten, in that very moment when they felt most abandoned, that God came to them and God reminded them of the promise God had made to them. In that moment, God says to them, can a woman forget her nursing child or show no compassion to the child of her womb? Even these may forget, but I will not forget you. I have you inscribed on the palms of my hands. See, Isaiah reminded the people that no matter what they were going through, no matter what challenge was happening in their life, no matter what was going to come next, God was still there. Even when the rest of the world didn't understand, even when the rest of the world couldn't understand, they were not forgotten. Isaiah said to them that God is still there. God is surrounding them. God is carrying them in this moment. Can a woman forget her nursing child or show no compassion to the child of her womb? The great Dutch priest Henry Nouwen once told a fable. It's a story of two unborn twins who got into a conversation one day about what life is like outside of the womb. The first twin turned to the other and said to him, do you believe in life after birth? Do you believe that there's something outside these walls we've been living in, something more beautiful, filled with more light than we could possibly imagine? Do you believe in life after birth? The second twin said, no. He said, I'm an empiricist. I believe that all you see in this life is all that is, and that birth is the end of life. After all, no one comes back once they're born. Well, I believe in life after birth, the first twin said. I believe there's something bigger going on in this world. And more than that, he said, I believe in a mother. I believe there's a mother out there who loves us, a mother who nurtures us, a mother who protects and cares for us. And I believe one day, we will get to see her face to face. That's nonsense, the second twin said. You believe in a mother? Tell me, have you ever seen her? Do you know she exists? How do you know she's real? I've never seen her, the first twin said. But I believe she's real. I believe she's all around us. I believe she carries us wherever we go. And sometimes at night, when things get quiet, I think I can hear a voice. I think I can hear her singing to us. I think I can hear her calling our names. Yes, can a mother forget her nursing child or show no compassion to the child of her womb? Even these may forget, God says, but I will not forget you. You see, life is not always easy. There are times in your life when you will end up in Peshtigo, times in your life when you will feel forgotten and no one will be able to understand or comprehend what it is you are going through. And yet in those moments, we remember that there is a mother who loves us, a mother who protects us, a mother who guides us through the fires and the travails of this life, someone who will carry us when we don't have the strength. And although we don't always see her, trust that she is surrounding our world, helping to give us new life, bring us to a new place, more beautiful and more filled with light than you could possibly imagine. The Apostle Paul once said, I consider the sufferings of this present time not worth comparing with that which is about to be revealed to us. For we know the whole of creation is groaning in labor pains. Yes, I believe in a mother. A mother who will never let us go. Dietrich Bonhoeffer is a German pastor and theologian who spent the final years of his life in a concentration camp after being arrested for his stand against the Nazi government. From a dark prison cell in Tegel, Bonhoeffer used to write regularly to his parents, sharing with them the challenge of being imprisoned. And in one of his letters, he said this. He said to his parents, "It's been a year now, a year since I've been able to worship, a year since I have heard a hymn. And yet I've realized, even in prison, that the music of the inner ear can often surpass that which we physically hear. Even behind bars," he said, "I can hear the music. Even in prison, I can still hear the singing. I hear the Easter hymns." "She's all around us," the child said. "She carries us wherever she goes. And when you're very quiet at night, you can hear her singing to us, speaking our names." Yes, whatever challenge it is you're facing today, now I want you to pause for a moment. And I want you to remember that you are not forgotten. Now I want you to pause and I want you to listen. Listen with your inner ear. Listen for the song. The song of the mother who loves you. The song of the mother who cares for you. The one who is leading you to an even more beautiful life. Listen as she speaks your name. Can a woman forget her nursing child? Can she show no compassion for the child of her womb? Even these may forget, but I will not forget you. You are not forgotten. Thanks be to God, and amen.